It's Marketplace Tech for August 20th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you haven't heard about AshleyMadison.com yet, you are probably faithful in your romantic endeavors and maybe not connected to the internet or cable television, the website and service with the stated goal of helping users have, quote, discreet encounters, famously had its data hacked, and now hackers have posted user information for all to see. Yes, some of the now public email addresses might belong to famous people and some end with .gov. Yes, a significant portion of these nearly 40 million emails might be fake. No, perhaps we should not be surprised that this seems to have ended badly. Is it possible to even try to set up a tryst online? Rob Sadowski is at the security firm RSA. Hello, Rob. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I know that the joke in the security world is there's no patch for human stupidity, but if you did want to use a website that has a social aspect to it and wanted to really obscure your identity effectively, could you?
There are definitely certain steps that anyone can take to disguise their identity online. Obviously, the easiest thing is using a different email address, but there are other techniques that you could take, such as using a virtual private network so it can't be tied back to a specific IP address, always logging on from different locations. So again, there's a lot of operational security if someone was really intent on protecting and preserving their privacy accessing a different site.
As a security guy, what does this story make you think about?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main message is the most important thing that organizations who are custodians of this type of information need to do is they need to get the tools in place to actually detect when someone has hacked into an organization before it turns into a breach. So if Ashley Madison could have detected this attack earlier on and prevented these people who stole the data from actually getting it.
Rob Sadowski is Director of Technology Solutions for RSA. Rob, thank you very much.
Thank you.
By the way, there is now a website where you can supposedly check email addresses against the leaked database to see if they were being used on AshleyMadison.com. We have tweeted a link from @MarketplaceTech. Andreessen Horowitz is one of the most well-known venture capital firms in Silicon Valley, and now it has a new general partner, Alex Rampell. The 34-year-old is maybe best known for writing software in high school that kept America Online users connected to the internet. But his more recent work has been in the e-commerce and online payment business, more proof perhaps that financial technology or fintech companies are looking like a potentially lucrative area for investors. This summer, we've been hearing from musicians about must-have pieces of technology for our special Noisemaker series. Earlier this week, you heard from the innovative DJ Money Mark about tricks used by the Beastie Boys. Today, you're going to hear from the rapper and producer LP of the group Run the Jewels. RTJ made one of my favorite albums of last year, and the group has been touring ever since. The other day, on a brief break from the group's touring schedule, LP brought me into the recording studio at his Brooklyn apartment. On the wall, an Italian movie poster from the classic sci-fi film Blade Runner. All around us, a wealth of synthesizers and computer monitors. And LP introduced me to the first piece of equipment he fell in love with back in the 1990s.
It's an EPS, it's an Ensoniq EPS 16 Plus.
Just to describe for people, it's a keyboard.
It's a keyboard sampler. It's a sampler. You know, most rap producers either grew up with like a drum machine sampler or a keyboard sampler. So
what do they do? Like, why?
Yeah, no, it's a classic sampler in the sense that it's based on recording sounds and using them, manipulating the sounds. And
so what about you? How has it affected the way you make your music? I mean,
well, it really affected it because, you know, my sound bank was whatever. Whatever I sampled, but I had to manipulate that sound and change it. So I needed a bass line. Oftentimes I would take something that wasn't a bass and sample it and pitch it down and turn it into a bass line.
So is it easier to actually take something that's not a bass and mess with it, with the EPS? Like
It is because of the way that it treats sound. It treats sound as though it's a keyboard. So it deals with longer iterations of sound than you would find in a drum machine, because also it's laid out as a keyboard.
Can you give an example? Like,
just like you're looking at filters and looping functions that are just like numbers and digits and on like a clock radio, you know, and you're kind of playing with the dials and holding it down on a key. And, you know, you kind of figure out like, well, how can I extend this or sound or make it come back on itself? And then when you start doing that, then you start triggering the sound at a different point than you originally thought and bringing it backwards and back around to another point. You realize that there's all these combinations of things that you can do. Angel dust.
Does that mean it changes the rhythm of what you're playing sometimes? Yeah. Does it sort of like, in a way, like have a restriction on you that can be good?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like it creates these, you sort of paint yourself into a corner where just as much as you're working with trying to find something that fits an idea that you're having, you also are working with responding to the thing that you've put into the machine. And you're always making the choice between bending to the sound or trying your best to bend the sound to the thing that you have in your head. That's what's beautiful about sampling, is that it's unpredictable and that it's a relationship that folds back on itself. You're not just the master of these samples. These samples have a life of their own. They exist already. And if you can push them and manipulate them into something else, that's cool, but you're going to have to adhere to the nature of the sample a little bit, you know?
LP, thank you very much for talking with me.
Yeah, man, my pleasure.
You can find a much longer version of this interview and of the rest of our Noisemaker series all at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.